All right, we're now joined by volleyball head coach Patrick Hiltz here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Coach, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. So last time we had you on, a couple rough losses at the end of August, but since then, team's gone 5-3 going into this week. What are some of your takeaways from the way the team's played in September?
You know, we've done a really nice job of dealing with some adversity that has come our way. Most of it being, you know, we've got the injury to Yelena that we're still trying to get her back from, and I would love to say she's day-to-day, but, you know, those are beyond me. I know that she's been rehabbing real hard. Hopefully we get her back soon. We had Tola, unfortunately, wasn't able to play on Saturday at Butler, and when you lose your only setter, that makes it difficult on everybody else. And really just proud of the way the girls stepped up and dealt with that adversity. We obviously, we lost in three, but, you know, we tried hard. We worked hard. There was no lack of effort because of the situation we were in. And because of that, we're able to identify areas that we can still get better, despite the fact that we had people out of position. So really doing a nice job of staying upbeat, understanding that adversity makes you stronger. We had to talk about that, whereas I said no team has ever won a championship without dealing with some type of adversity. And any team that has got smooth sailing going into the playoffs, they're the ones that are most vulnerable to upsets in the playoffs. So we want to make sure that we use this as a tool to understand that it's making us stronger, making us better, and keep our focus moving forward, because eventually that adversity is going to hopefully go away and we'll be in a great position to jumpstart from there.
Last time we had you on, we talked about how important Yelena was. Who's kind of stepped up in place of her being out?
Yeah, I think both couple freshmen. I think Julia Brazil has done a really nice job of now understanding what we need her to do and how to go about doing that. She's had, I think, probably three games in a row now where she's played very loose and played very, very well. So I think she's reached a point of understanding of what needs to be done at this level. So I'm pleased with what she's been able to do. And then Carly Lang from Hayes High School, she stepped up and had some couple big games for us against Pratt, helped us win that one. And I can't remember who we were playing with the other one, but she had another big game there. So she's been playing really, really well all the way around, not just hitting, but her defense and her serve receive and her serve. I can't remember who we were playing, but it was Cloud. It was Cloud when she was on the service line and we were coming back from a big deficit in the third set against Cloud, and she went and fired back-to-back aces like she was a senior. Forget about freshman, sophomore. She looked like every bit of the part of a superstar there, just going back and just gaining two aces for us to push us back and get us that set and ultimately the win in that match. So I would say Carly and Julia have done a really nice job of stepping up and leaving the freshman tag behind and starting to play and act like sophomores.
Okay, I guess two-part question for you. Firstly, to be with those two being freshmen, how long does it normally take for these newer players to acclimate themselves into a season? And secondly, are these two on more of an accelerated path? Do you think they're playing above their weight a little quicker than you expected?
Well, two-part question, two-part answer, yes and no.
Okay.
So I think due to the adversity we've had to deal with and the positions that I've had to put them in, yes, it has been slightly accelerated. However, it is also online with where you would like to have the kids be as far as learning and adjusting to the college game. So they've both done a really nice job. I think it has been accelerated a little bit for them because of our situation. But I would also say that a normal situation would have them about at this point as well. You know, I think if we hadn't had to deal with the things we've dealt with Yelena going down and having to be replaced by Julia in that spot, maybe Julia being on the bench or not getting regular playing time slows that acceleration, slows that learning curve. But at the same time, the reason we were able to put her in and be successful is because she had bought in. She understood what we were trying to get her to do. Same thing with Carly. It wasn't that they were fighting the system. They came in open-minded. They bought into what we were teaching, trying to learn it. And then when you throw them on the floor, you kind of throw them in the deep end and you either learn to swim or you don't. And so they've both done a really nice job of at least being open-minded and willing to learn so that when the opportunity came, it clicked faster than it maybe normally would have.
Let me ask you this. This is your fifth season, if I have it right here at Garden mm-hmm. City. You had the transfers right before the season. You have one of your big outside hitters go down at the start of the season. Is this the most adversity that you face at the start of a season here with the Bronkbusters?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say outside of year one, yes. And I think year one wasn't even the same type of adversity. I think year one was more of a and I don't even want to say battle, like that team in year one was very close. They had dealt with a lot of adversity before I got here. So in that regard, the adversity was there for that team, but not necessarily for me. I think for some of the things that I've had to deal with and the team has had to deal with this year, yeah, I think we could probably safely say that because, you know, here we are dealing with all this, and yet we're still in the mix. We haven't lost anything. And I think in years past, these types of things would have been excuses for poor play. And this group has not allowed that to be the case. They've said, it is what it is. It's going to make us better. We just have to go out and play our best. And we're maintaining contact. You know, you and I both got the standings up right now. We've maintained contact with the rest of the conference. Nobody's running away from us. We're not putting ourselves in a bad hole. We're in position where we're continuing to win the games that we need to win. We're competitive in other areas. And when we get healthy, when we get everybody back and on the same page and clicking, we should be in a position to make a run at this. And that speaks volumes to these girls and what they're able to do.
One thing you mentioned a couple of weeks ago at the luncheon was that this team is up there with one of the best defensive teams that you've ever coached. Can you elaborate on what you meant by that?
It's our strength. You know, last year, people remember watching us play last year. We walked into the gym, and we looked good getting off the bus. You know, we were 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6'1", 6'. We could block the ball, and that kind of hid some of our weaknesses, which was a serve-receive deficiency. It was a little bit of a defensive deficiency. When you're that big, it hides those things. We're not that big this year, so we can't hide those things. We have to be good behind the block. And, you know, Victoria is one of the best Libros I've ever coached. She's an amazing defensive player. Serve-receive is good. Our serve-receive is our strength. We've kind of fallen off a little bit, but we got back to it in practice as far as focusing on the little things. But when you can build an entire defense around one player, then what we have to understand, because Victoria was getting a lot of the attention early on, when we have a defense designed for the hitters to have to hit to a certain person, and that person is Victoria, and as good as she is, she looks good, she gets all the accolades. What people don't understand is that the only way for her to get all those numbers is if everybody else is doing their job too, because teams will figure out really quick, don't hit it to that girl. Well, if they don't hit it to her and somebody else isn't doing their job, then they win there. But what's happening is we have people around Victoria that have also committed to defense first, so now you hit somebody else, ball is still getting dug. You hit another place, ball is still getting dug. But now you get frustrated and you try and hit harder. Well, now you're hitting back to the person we want you to hit it at in the first place. And so now what are you going to do? You just get frustrated. And so one of the comments, I think when we got done playing McCook, we had 100 digs in 4 sets, which is borderline insane. But one of the players was overheard saying, we didn't play very well, but their defense was, oh my God, it was just so frustrating. That's the best compliment we can get. Because now, not because of our height or anything that we're doing, but just the way we play defense is in somebody's head. And now we're winning the mental game. And if we're winning the mental game, we can beat anybody. So it's a great spot to be good at.
So you like to look over at the other coach and you see them pulling their hair out when they cannot get a kill for their lives.
You know, I've been there enough times myself that when I see it in another coach on the sidelines, I kind of grin. You know, you have to enjoy it when you can, because we've all been on both sides of that equation.
How big is the mental game in volleyball?
I think it's huge. We talk all the time about win your matchup. You know, it's ultimately a team sport. It is the ultimate team sport, because hitters can't be hitters without the setters. Setters can't be good without the pass. So it is the ultimate team sport. But at the same time, there is that individual matchup. You know, if I'm blocking, I've got my matchup against that other hitter. I got to win that matchup. I've got to win the one-on-one with that person. So if you turned and hit it off my hand on the last time, I got to make sure that I don't let you do that this time. From a serve-receive standpoint, you know, if you're serving at me, I have to figure out, where are you going to go? Are you going to go short? Are you going to go deep? Can I bait you into serving the ball where I want you to serve it to by moving myself around? You know, it's constant thought of, what are you going to do and how do I counter that? And so that individual matchup within the team sport is also interesting. And we talk about that in our practices all the time too. Win your individual matchup, and if you can do something to get them thinking about you, then you're winning your matchup.
So let me go a little individually. You talked about Victoria before. Victoria Stegley, you said that, you know, her numbers are great, but that's because everybody else is dug in around her. But she's averaging over 5.5 digs per set, which is up there with some of the best in the nation. How has she managed to have some success defensively?
She's a little bit of a perfectionist. She may not admit that, but she wants everything to be perfect. And I think any athlete needs to have this in order to be as good as they are. 5.5 digs per set, in all honesty, I think that's probably low. I think she can go higher. I think that positioning, she's still learning a couple of things as far as where to be on the court. But she's a student of the game. And I think ultimately she reads really well. And what do I mean by that? Well, football-wise, people say, well, this defensive, you know, this cornerback anticipates really well, or you read the quarterback's eyes and all these different things. It's no different in volleyball. It's being in the right position and then gathering information from your opponent about what they're going to do with the ball. And she does that very, very well. I think some of the best defensive players I've had, they seem to know what the hitter is going to have to do with the ball before the hitter knows that they have to do that. And that puts them in an advantage on the hitter. And Victoria's pretty good about recognizing these things. And then she just gets after it. Once she decides to go, she goes. And more often than not, her touches are pretty darn good, and we're able to do something with it. So her energy, her anticipation, her ability to get to stuff, I think inspires the rest of the girls around her to also play defense that way, which then in turn, like we talked about, only makes her better because now she's getting more opportunities on her end as well.
Was there a moment, because she's a freshman who comes over from Brazil, was there a moment that first popped out that said, yeah, that's what I want as my libero over the middle?
During practice, of course, you know, there were little things here and there. I think the moment, if you want an actual moment, there was a point, I think it was our first match here against Eastern Wyoming, and she dove for a ball in serve receive that she probably beat herself up about needing to dive for that ball, but she dove for a ball. It kind of shot across the floor, and Tola was able to get a hand on it, pop it up. The ball never was more than a foot above the floor. Like, so she dove, popped the ball towards Tola. Tola jumped down, popped it again, and it's still screaming along the floor. And while still on the floor, Victoria does some funky move that I would probably hurt myself trying to do, jumps up and swings and gets the ball back over the net, and we end up getting the point later on in the match. And I said, that's what we need out of that libero position, is that refusal to quit on any play, looking to do whatever is necessary to keep the ball up in the air. And that was probably the moment I went, I think we got a good one here.
So I want to dive a little bit into conference play now. As we're recording this, you guys travel to Colby. On the day it airs, you will host Otero. But after that, some big conference games at home. We talked about the standings. It's kind of a junction. Right at, you take Hutchinson, who's 5-1. They're kind of apart from the rest of the pack. Pratt's 0-5. They're below. But then everybody else is either 2-3, 3-2, 2-2. Has it always been this competitive during your time in Garden?
No. No, usually within the first six games, you can kind of get an idea of who's where. And this is the first season since I've been here where nobody has stepped up and said, we're clearly the best team in the conference. You got to give credit to Hutch right now at 5-1. They look record-wise like the best team in the conference. Barton's done a really nice job early on, but again, you know, Barton has lost to Dodge, and Dodge has lost to Cloud, and Dodge has gone and beaten some ranked teams and was looking really good for them. It's just, it's a jumbled mess. You know, some of our losses, we've lost to the number 16 team in the country, the number 5 team in the country, the number 17 team in the country. So, but we haven't been blown out by any of those teams. Yeah, other than number 5, I guess they got us pretty good. But it's a jumbled mess. Anybody can beat anybody else on any given night in the conference, 1-8. And so it makes it exciting. It should give you hope, you know, especially for a team like us who's dealing with some adversity, that, hey, we get through this and we maintain contact with the rest of the conference, we can still get up there. We can get into one of those top 4 spots, perhaps, and host a playoff game. That's always the goal, of course, first and foremost. We want to try and obviously get into the playoffs, but once that's established, we want to host a playoff game. That makes our road a little bit easier trying to get to nationals every year. So it's a hot mess. I think it's exciting for the fans. Anybody can beat anybody any given night.
So as we're talking right now, you guys are opening up a 3-game homestand, final non-conference game against Otero. But after that, next Monday, you've got Hutchinson at home, and then you got Barton next Saturday. When we were talking before we started this interview, you said kind of the mantra of this conference is to take care of business at home in conference and try and get what you can on the road. Well, you're 2-0 at home in conference so far. What's been the success to that?
I think just the atmosphere here. We've got great fans, great support. Our baseball team does a really good job of being obnoxious, and I think they take a lot of pride in being obnoxious. So love that. It's a home cooking, you know, sleeping in your own bed, having a regular schedule, not having to travel anywhere. We do a really nice job of being high energy and feeding off of our crowd. And so we're able to protect our home court. And we've played very well at home. We opened at home with our tournament and also played very well in that. And so that's a nice advantage to have, and we want to continue to take advantage of that.
To the people that might be listening right now that haven't come out to a game yet this season, what would you tell the fans to say that you should come out and watch this team?
What are you waiting for? Volleyball is the second most popular sport in the world. You know, soccer being number one, volleyball is number two. We don't know that in the United States because we don't have a whole lot of professional leagues for people to go play. But if you go overseas, there is a ton of professional leagues that are averaging 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 for their pro leagues. And then you look at the D1 levels in places like Nebraska and Wisconsin and all these places that are putting up 15, 17, 92,000, you know, fans at a game. It's a spectator sport. It is a fantastic spectator sport. So, you know, the energy that these girls play with is fun. I think what we've tried to build here since I got here to Garden City is putting a team on the floor that the community can be proud of. You know, I never promised we would win every game, but I promise that we would put a team together that would play the game in a way that the community could be proud of the way they play the game. And so that's what we've been trying to do, and I think we're pretty darn close to that with the way we play defense and get after it and have a lot of fun. And then the girls are available afterwards, and I know that there's a ton of young players, young girls and boys that just enjoy being able to meet the girls after the game and take pictures and just be able to enjoy a fun night. And so, you know, I would encourage everybody to come out. And you got the little ones, bring them, because my girls love seeing the littles after the game and taking pictures and spending time with them. So, yeah, the more people we can get out here, the more the girls are energetic and they feed off that energy of the gym. And we just love it. We love it when people come out and support.
Well, what are you waiting for, Bronquebusters fans? Longest homestand for the rest of the season for this Bronquebusters volleyball team. They're playing in action right now against Otero. And then Monday against Hutchinson, Saturday against Barton, the best two teams as we're recording this. That was volleyball head coach Patrick Hiltz. Thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck this week.
Appreciate it. Go Busters.